Thanks for joining us. And I want you, I'm Pastor Bert, I should tell you that. And I'm not a mother. But I have the best mom. And believe it or not, mother-in-law that anyone could possibly hope for. I can't tell you how many times I have been blessed by the words and the deeds of these godly women, these godly moms in my life. They've encouraged me. They've corrected me. They've challenged me, and they've comforted me. They've lifted me, and they've leveled me. They've taught me, and they've teased me. They've supported me. They've strengthened me. They have blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. And I'm so grateful and proud to call each one of them mom. I honestly think motherhood is probably the most underrated role on our planet today. We all too often take or took our mothers for granted for much of our lives, while they were there for us 24/7. They cleaned, they cooked, created culinary masterpieces out of seemingly nothing. They washed, watched, and waited up for us when we were out too late. When I see the pressures on young moms today to perform both inside and outside the home, my heart breaks for them. Because even though I'll never be a mom, I've been privileged, as I said, to know and have some amazing moms. And I see the same greatness in you, who are facing the pressures and challenges of life and motherhood with confidence and grace. Not a small portion of faith. And as I was thinking about moms, I was reminded of Psalm 121 in the Bible, which was written by the shepherd king David of Israel. But then my mind does what it often tends to do, likes to do, and I started thinking, I wonder what it would be like if David's mom wrote this psalm. What would it sound like? So I took some creative license. And I think that if David's mom wrote Psalm 121, it might sound a little bit like this. I lift my eyes up to the mountains of laundry. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip on the pool of juice. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over your family will neither slumber nor sleep, so you can. The Lord watches over you. He protects you when life heats up. No burns by day, no stepping on Legos by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your grocery runs, play dates, bike rides, sports leagues, music lessons, dance classes, driver's tests, first dates, road trips, work days, late nights, doctor's visits, school meetings, family vacations, graduation ceremonies, comings and goings. Both now and forevermore. Amen. I look at this, what I consider the demands of motherhood, I feel like the theme of Mission Impossible should be playing in the background. Because I honestly don't know how you can do it without the faith that's expressed in this psalm. In fact, I don't think it's possible to go from simply surviving as a mom to thriving as a great mom without relying on God to help you. Because I believe that the greatest moms are godly moms. You see, the one thing I notice about the best moms that I've ever known is that being a great and godly mom doesn't happen when you give birth. It starts by being a great woman first. And the greatest women I've known have all been godly women. So what makes a godly woman? Well, the Bible's book of Proverbs tells us the wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts. and her household thrives. But the foolish one who lacks spiritual insight tears it down with her own hands by ignoring godly principles. So this tells me, anyways, that a godly woman wisely builds her home on what's written in God's word, the Bible. And in the Bible, we have three excellent examples of godly women that I want to share with you today, who I think help us identify the traits that make for a great and godly woman. If you grab your outline, you'll see our first mom today is Naomi, who is an example of sincere care. Sincere care. Now, we find the account of Naomi in the biblical record named after her daughter-in-law, Ruth. You know, when you read it, you discover that because of a famine in her homeland of Israel, Naomi, her husband, her two sons, moved to the nation of Moab to be able to provide for their family. And while they lived there, Naomi's sons married daughters from that land. But then tragedy happens. Within a 10-year period, Naomi's husband and both of her sons all pass away. And feeling that there was nothing left for her there in the land of Moab, Naomi decides to return to her homeland. Caring about the future of her daughters-in-law, she encourages them to leave her and to go find new husbands for themselves. But Ruth refuses to leave Naomi's side. Refuses to leave her alone. I believe this is because Ruth had experienced Naomi's love and care for her during the 10 years she'd been married to Naomi's son. And the caring quality of Naomi's character had rubbed off on Ruth until she too had become a godly woman. Listen to Ruth's resolve. She said, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." You know, I know that Naomi's caring, loving heart is the heart of every godly woman, that their children would become godly people as well. And so godly moms pray for their kids. They pray that they'll put their faith in Jesus as Savior and have him lead their lives. They pray that they'll find meaningful careers and godly spouses. But even more importantly, they model godliness for their children by their compassionate care for them and others. I love how Naomi's concern for Ruth didn't end once she got back to her hometown. But like the great mom she was, she cared about Ruth's future still. So what did she do? Well, she got to work playing matchmaker, right, for Ruth. I'm not joking. It literally says this. One day, Naomi said to Ruth, "It's time I found you a husband. One who'll give you a home and take care of you." I love that. Naomi didn't just pray for Ruth to find another husband. She personally took the task on herself. And this tells me godly moms not only care about you today, but they care for your future. They want you to experience the fullness of the abundant life that Jesus promises to those who would follow him and live for his purposes. The second example of a godly woman on your outline is Hannah. This is the mother of Samuel, who is the last judge over Israel and who anointed its first two kings. And in Samuel's mom, we find the godly quality of sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. You know, perhaps one of the most vivid and I think touching examples of sacrificial giving comes from this godly woman. In the first two chapters of Samuel's book in the Bible, we read about Hannah being a grief-stricken, barren woman who wanted so badly to have a child that she would travel to the tabernacle of God over and over, asking her Lord to open her womb. She prayed that if he granted her a son, she would dedicate him fully to God's service as a priest. She was once praying, it says, so desperately that the chief priest thought she was drunk Listen to her response. "No, I'm not drunk, sir," she answered. "I haven't been drinking. I am desperate. And I've been praying, pouring out my troubles to the Lord." Great example of a godly woman pouring out her heart to God, all her cares, all her troubles, right? And shortly after, we read the results of those prayers. It says, "And the Lord answered her prayer. So it was that she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel," meaning God hears. He hears me. "And explained, I asked the Lord for him. And he heard." The Lord granted the request of this godly woman. And the record goes on to show us that she fulfilled her commitment to him by giving her son a full-time service as God's minister once he was of age. Now, one thing I've noticed over the years for most people, not all, but most people I've found is that when they've been so desperate to get something and when they finally get it, they can't let it go. They have such a hard time with that, right? They can't give it up. And some of you might even look at Hannah and think that you could never give up your child like she did. That's because you probably don't know God quite like she does or did. She trusted him with her life, so it was easy for her to trust him with her son's life. And those who have experienced God's grace in this area know that you can never outgive God. And in Hannah's case, it's the same. Not only was she granted her request of a son, but she was ultimately blessed with 3 more sons and 2 daughters. So you see, God loves to bless those who are generous because he is generous. Just like Hannah gave God her son, God has given us his son. The most famous sentence in the Bible are Jesus' words recorded by his closest friend and follower named John. "God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die." God sacrificially gave the world Jesus. And Jesus sacrificially gave up his own life for you and me to pay the price for our sin. The early church leader Paul put it like this in his letter to the church in Rome in the first century. He said, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Reflecting Jesus' willingness to sacrifice himself for the people of this world, godly women sacrificially give of themselves for God, for their family, and for others. And because of this, God blesses them and their families with his peace, with his power, with his protection, his provision, and more, most importantly, his presence. He's there. The third mom really needs no introduction. Jesus' own mother, Mary, who is, an excellent example of strong faith. Strong faith. You know, in the Christmas story, we read of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, who was a virgin, to announce that she would miraculously give birth to the Savior of the world. Of course, Mary wasn't the only one that we can read in the Bible that experienced a miraculous birth. We've already looked at Hannah. There's also Sarah, who gave birth in her 80s, becoming the mother of the Hebrew nation. Even Mary's cousin Elizabeth, who'd been barren like Hannah, yet gave birth to John the Baptizer, who was the herald of Jesus, the Savior. Yet none of them would have ever dreamt of what Mary would experience. God himself entering her womb to be born as a baby. Fleeing from a wicked king who sought to kill her child. Jesus growing up in her home, perfectly sinless. witnessing him perform miracles and confound the religious leaders with his amazing command of the scriptures. Crowds flocking to hear him speak, hoping for a miracle. Then seemingly in a heartbeat, those same crowds turning on him and shouting, "Crucify him." Seeing him hang on a cross, crying, "Father, forgive them." And then watching him die to save her and everyone who would believe in him. Imagine that many times Mary wondered, why me? Why would God choose me for such an awesome task of raising the Savior of the world? Let me read something to you from the Christmas account, recorded by the church historian and early follower of Jesus named Luke. It says, when the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, "You are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you." Mary is the most famous mother in all of history because she gave birth to Jesus. But Mary became the mother of Jesus because she had found favor with God. Her strong faith in God and faithfulness to him marked her for the most special role in history, to give birth to and raise God's only begotten Son. You know, there's one thing that caused me to pause a little bit while I was preparing this talk, that nowhere in the Bible is it recorded that Mary actually saw Jesus after his resurrection. It may have happened, may not. I'm sure there would have been ample opportunity to do so, and that Jesus' other followers would have made letting her know about the resurrection obviously a priority, I would think, right? So why wouldn't she do everything she could to see him again? Well, I like to imagine that it's because Mary knew he didn't belong to her, but she belonged to him. He was no longer her child. She was his child. He was and is and evermore will be her God and Savior. And she knew that he was going home to heaven to prepare a place for her, just like he promised to every one of his followers then and today, as recorded by John. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me, he said. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare. Would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Sorry. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Sincere care, sacrificial giving, strong faith. These are the qualities of godly women. Women who find favor with God. Women who are blessed by God to bless others. I've been so blessed by my godly mom, my godly mother-in-law, and especially my godly wife. And I know that each of them have blessed God's heart as he prepares a place for each of them in heaven. But perhaps some of you are here or watching today online and you don't have that assurance that there is a place being prepared for you in heaven. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can be sure right now by simply believing in Jesus as the Savior of the world and asking him to lead your life from now on. Again, writing to the Roman church, Paul says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Folks, it really is that simple. God never meant for it to be difficult. He wants none of his children to perish. Simply believe in Jesus and declare him as Lord, letting him lead and guide your life. If you want to do that today, I'm going to help you by leading you in a short prayer as I close. You can follow along silently and then just start living for him, turning away from doing things your own way and start following what he says is the best for your life. And if this is you today and you want to be included in this prayer, as we close our eyes today, if we could just bow our heads, you can simply declare this by raising your hand to God and praying along with me. Dear God, I want to accept your invitation to live for you and with you forever. I confess that I've been living how I wanted, and not really thinking much about how you might want me to live. Please forgive me, and please help me to live for you from now on. God, I don't understand it all, but I'm choosing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, came to earth, died on a cross, become my Savior. I believe that he defeated death and as he rose from the dead. And as he's promised, he will one day raise me to be with him forever. So I ask you, Jesus, please lead my life from this moment on so I can live the rest of my life as the best of my life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's going to be, a slide. Is there another slide on there? Yeah, you can just text to that number, I prayed, and we have some resources and stuff that I'd love to share with you and pass on to you, or you can fill in. There's a Connect card as well, both connected to this, to our live stream, as well as in the seat in front of you. And if you want to fill that in instead, if you don't have a device handy to do that, then we will get that same information to you. But with that, I'm not sure. I've got to get going. The band's going to do something, or if you're dismissed to go. But I'm going to pray closing prayer. And if the band wants to play one more song while I'm gone, they can come up at this time. Father, thank you so much for moms. Thank you for the examples that we have in your word of godly moms. Lord, but not just godly moms, godly women. Lord, because we recognize, Lord, that we all have those who are maybe natural mothers, but also spiritual mothers. And each of us, Lord, can work towards that, being spiritual parents to those around us, Lord, and to encourage them to love you, to follow you, to put their faith and trust in you. And so, Lord, as we go from this place today, I pray your blessing upon each lady here. Lord, that they would know your presence, know your smile upon their lives this day, and each and every day, really, and because I know that you created them wonderfully, and to reflect your love and compare and compassion and nurturing heart that we so often see in moms. And we thank you for that and pray your blessing upon them as they go now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's also a little gift for each of the ladies, I believe, out in the foyer as you leave. And so God bless you, and hope to see you again next week. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Bert. Yeah, don't forget.